God's word from 1 Peter in the first chapter, verses 17, through the second chapter, verse 3. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For, as we read in God's word, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave spiritual, pure milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Last time we talked about an elder-led congregation, so today let's talk about the congregation. How many of you have ever been on a cruise ship of any kind? Or any of you ever been on a guided tour or a tour group by bus or by train? I talked to someone this week who's been on bus tours. Or have you ever taken a class of any kind as an adult? The reason I ask is that those of you who have done any of those things may have some insight into today's scripture, because the image of a boat or ship, but any travel group or any class, but especially a ship, because a ship or a boat is an ancient image of the church. Also, a classroom or a school was also an image of the church, with Jesus as the master teacher. And we talk about these things because the scripture today is talking about the church. The word church does not appear in this letter of 1 Peter, nor does even the word body, since the Apostle Paul talks about the church as the body of Christ. Still, this letter is addressed to God's people. It starts out, to God's elect, strangers in the world. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. And these are all things we want to talk about today. So the letter is written to the churches, and the letter is written for the churches. The church in the time of the apostles was made up of people from every level of society. There were rich people, poor people, there were slaves who were a part of the church. We know that in some churches there were both Jews and Gentiles. Still, the apostle sees the oneness of the church. How can he see the oneness of the church? Because we are all children of God through Jesus, all born anew because of what God and Jesus Christ offers us. What were Jesus' words? No one comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6. Not only did the Lord make us all, God is our creator, Father, but Jesus gave us all a new birth. We all have new lives through Jesus Christ. We're like a tour group on a boat or any tour group. We're not all here because of the captain of the ship or our tour leader. We are not all here because of everyone else who is here. We are all together here because we have all booked passage on the same journey through Jesus Christ. The Bible would say that you and I were called. Jesus called the disciples together to be in Jesus' class that Jesus taught. You may not have ever had a chance to choose your classes or your courses, but with regard to church, Jesus chose you. Jesus called you to follow him, to go on his cruise ship. Jesus called you to attend his class. And all the references are there for this calling. We're all called by Jesus. 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. So what that means is that Jesus called you. You didn't arrange this meeting today. I didn't call this meeting today. Jesus calls us. So if the church is a ship, when you first come on board the ship, you might not know anyone else who is on the ship with you, just as it happens on a cruise ship. But Jesus wants you to learn to love everyone else who is on this cruise with you. That's in today's word. You have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. You have the love. You may not know it. You might not have lived it out yet, but you have it. And the scripture says, why? Because you've been born again through the living word of God. And you might wonder, how can that ever possibly happen, to love everyone else on board? Well, because this trip we are on is not an excursion. It's not a vacation cruise. This isn't a carnival cruise, good or bad. This is a mission trip, and we are on a mission ship. Sometimes the ship of the church has no function, has to function as a hospital ship. Even some on board become sick and are in need of healing. Their loved ones need support. Some on board are trying to recover. Some on board are trying to heal. We've recently had opportunities to see this congregation at its best, haven't we? How many thank you notes have recently come through? The blessings of the Crafts for Crisis craft group. And even our own beloved and late Don Brown was a recipient of one of the beautiful quilts made by the craft group. One thank you note says it's the caring hearts here that are the most wonderful part of the ministry of the church. How many thank yous have I been asked to announce? Thank yous for prayers. Thank yous for visits. Thank yous for thoughtfulness and thoughtful gestures. Thank yous for cards. Thank yous for healing services. Thank yous for food. And I would add good food, really good food. Probably the most erudite thank you note comes from a retired college professor who was baptized at this church. He wrote, when I was a college professor, I met on committees for years, and they decided or solved nothing. The Daleville Christian Church Funeral Dinner Committee should give lessons. Here's what the professor said. Attended to my family's needs so well, allowing those who had to travel great distances a chance to relax in a caring atmosphere. He appreciated each dish that was served, also maintained a gluten-free diet, as my wife must do, so it was easy for us to provide gluten-free cookies for him, and he appreciated those too. Here's the Church of Jesus Christ on its mission to help others in Jesus' name. Serving the sick, serving the weak, serving the grieving, serving the young, serving the old, serving their loved ones. And what we discover on this mission cruise, on this mission ship, is that we are not passengers. We are the crew. We provide what is needed. We provide what is necessary. We serve one another. We care for one another. So why do we go to visit at the hospital? Why do we support others? Why do we attend the wedding or the wedding shower or the baby shower or the graduation? Because we personally know these people? No. That isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says that we have sincere love for the others on the ship. Why? Well, first of all, God does. God has a sincere love for them through Jesus Christ. Jesus has a sincere love for them, and it was Jesus who called all of us together. You heard Jesus calling here at the church first. Or you heard Jesus' voice in his word here. Or you heard the Lord calling you through the worship. Friends, if you've ever traveled with a group, you know how hard it can be to love others on the same trip. You know how hard it is to care about others if you travel with them for very long. I should tell you about my sister's trip to Europe a few years ago. At one point on the tour, she'd been to this part of London before. The bus driver himself was not going the right way. Now, that's a tough tour. And she knew he wasn't going the right way. Later, on the continent, the bus broke down. She'd told the bus driver at the stop before the bus was leaking some fluid. He needed to get it checked out. So I'm pretty sure that my sister will never book with that tour group again. But if the church is our tour group, Jesus didn't say it would be easy. The Lord just called us to do it. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. If we want to please the teacher Jesus said, you want to please me, then care about everyone else in class. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. When we get to heaven, Jesus won't ask us questions about our Bible knowledge. Jesus will ask us about our heart knowledge. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus said, if you did it for even the least of these, you did it for me. Matthew chapter 25. Friends, we are not naive. We are not good people, and we're not trying to be good people. This is the Bible's words, not mine. What was my sermon text a couple of weeks ago? Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I spoke about our late friend Don Brown yesterday. He wasn't a good person. I'm not a good person. But God in Christ made Don good. God in Christ makes me do any good. Jesus makes us do anything of value in this life. And I have to say those things that way because so many people think church and being good belong together. Jesus said it. No one's good except God. We can just drop the word out of our vocabulary. We're either saved and Jesus is working in our life, or we're not saved, and Jesus is not working in our life. One of our problems in the churches is that we think that there are certain choices that saved people should not make, and churches have never been able to agree on that list. Alcohol or non-alcohol, skirt or slacks, jeans or suits, circumcision or non-circumcision, hymns or modern music. You can come up with a list on your own, I'm sure. Free will or predestination, Trinitarian, non-Trinitarian, tongues or no tongues. The apostles came up with a list of three things that were not negotiable, and they wrote a letter. You can read about it in Acts 15. Letters from the apostles and the elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, and we are all Gentiles. And it says, we've heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. Now, back in the day, for ancient peoples, that wasn't a difficult list, but it did make a clear distinction between those who lived a saved lifestyle and those who did not. You and I have never seen food sacrificed to idols in the meat section of the grocery. The ancients saw it there every day. But the point is, that list of three things, that was it. Those were the only basic lifestyle issues. Now, you read the New Testament and you'll see how much more the apostles had to deal with in the churches. They dealt with divorce, they dealt with lawsuits, they dealt with discrimination. And the biggest problem of discrimination? Between rich and poor. See the book of James. But the church isn't made up of people who can follow rules. The church is made up of people whom Jesus is transforming. Behold, the risen Jesus said, I make everything new. The church is made up of people who love the Lord. I mentioned in a sermon a few weeks ago the testimonies of people, some of whom were leading Bible studies, and they had issues that they were dealing with in their own lives. Issues with anger, issues with sharing their fears, issues with raising their children and controlling their tongue. Those problems were still being solved for them in the church. They weren't solved in them before they went to church. Those problems were solved while they were in the church. Those problems got solved in the church. Those problems could only be worked out once they were already called by Jesus and got on the mission ship for the mission trip. So one of the biggest differences is not which rules to follow. The biggest difference is, are you letting Jesus change you? Are you working with the Lord on your new life? This is another one of those things that binds us together as a church. We know that Jesus, who called us together, is working to remake all of us. Some of what I see at Daleville Christian Church is, yes, this congregation is letting Jesus give it new life. Hear today's scriptures. Obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. See, obeying the truth has to do with loving each other and caring about each other. And why is that so? God's word says in the next verse, "For you've been born again through the living and enduring word of God." Now, interesting, the letter goes on to say, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good." Well, guess what, friends? If the letter says that the hearers are to rid themselves of malice, deceit, and hypocrisy, then that means those things are still present in the congregation, in that church of the apostles. There still existed malice, deceit, and hypocrisy. And why is it necessary for the apostle to tell them that they need to be rid of those things? He goes on to say, so you can grow up in your salvation. You're saved, now grow up in your salvation. Be mature in Jesus Christ. Be fully transformed. Malice, deceit, and hypocrisy belong to your old life. Jesus is making you into new people. What binds us together on this trip is that we want to leave where we left. We want to leave that behind. In the world is malice, deceit, hypocrisy, and there's no alternative unless they also turn to Jesus. In the day of the apostles, the disciples with Jesus were in a boat on a sea of paganism. Today we are on a boat of the church on a sea of paganism. There is much darkness in the world, and Jesus is the only light. We are those who have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That phrase, too, is from this letter of 1 Peter. We use these verses I'm going to read. We use them in every baptismal service to remind the one being baptized and those who are already baptized, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And it says you're chosen. Jesus called you chosen so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We are on this mission ship together because the Lord is merciful. And now we help each other be merciful in Jesus Christ and be merciful through Jesus Christ, the one who showed us mercy. Amen.